Morning, everyone. I'm Ann Barden, and I have been part of the teacher circle at Insight Meditation Ann Arbor from its very beginning. And I have retired from the teacher seat, but I have not retired from the Dhamma. And so it's a joy to share with you this morning. This morning, I'd like us to bring that relaxed attention that we had in our sitting to look at the defilements. Big word, the defilements of greed, hatred, and delusion. Well, you know, we often think of meditation as something that's going to get us away from all those things. But the teachings from the Buddha are that it's important to look at those things that are uncomfortable. So we look at greed, hatred, and delusion, or confusion, and all their friends and relations, both large and small. They're all part of human experience. They're natural phenomena. Greed is simply liking, wanting. Aversion is disliking, not wanting. Delusion is confusion about what's true, what is true. With relaxed attention, we acknowledge, ah, this is simply what's happening, both internally and externally. We observe. We try to know clearly, not to make them turn out the way we want, just to observe. We see expectations arise. Oh, if I sit for meditation, I'm going to be happier. Expectations are a kind of attachment, and we know from the truth of the second noble truth that attachment leads to suffering. Anticipation leads to wanting. Oh, I can't wait for that to happen. Ah, wanting, wanting. Anxiety leads to aversion. That doesn't happen. That's really terrible. So this is the practice, both in meditation and in daily life. We bring direct observation without resistance to what's happening in the body and in the mind. Both the sensation itself and the reaction to it. The observation is not to make it go away. I want to share with you part of the song from The Flight of the Garuda by Lama Shabdar, which is wonderful teachings from the Tibetan tradition about the defilements and how to contemplate them. He begins by singing, and he was known for, he was a 12th century monk, and he was known for teaching through songs. Contemplate how others have inflicted harm upon you in the past, how they accused you, struck you, and beat you, how you were put to shame and deeply hurt. Recollect it thoroughly in your mind and allow anger to arise. The moment it arises, look directly into its essence. Observe that which is angry. Where did it come from? Where is it now? Where will it go at last? See whether there's a shape or color, and so on. observed, we see it is primordially empty. There's nothing there to grasp. Without abandoning anger, it is mirror-like wisdom. Imagine in your mind, in vivid detail, a man or a woman of captivating beauty. Whatever you desire to eat, such as meat and so forth, whatever you like to wear, such as clothes, whatever you may long for, such as horses and cattle, reflect on these. Reflect on these and allow desire to arise. The moment it arises, look directly into its essence. Observe that which feels desire. Where did it come from first? Where is it now? Where will it go at last? See whether or not there's a shape or color, and so on. When observed, it is primordially empty. There is nothing there to grasp. Without abandoning desire, it is discriminating wisdom. The observing mind calms and relaxes. Perhaps it even speaks in the mind, ah, this is, oh. Remember, this is not personal. It's not self, it's just experience. We begin to see from moment to moment in our observation that it's possible to experience a simple observation. Whether it is pleasant or unpleasant is not I, not mine, not me. But to know what is happening simply as it is. I had an experience years ago with driving in the car with a Dharma sister to visit my daughter who was making some life decisions that I thought were unskillful and harmful. And I was telling this friend about it. And I paused for a minute, and she said, quietly, "Is this greed?" It stopped me cold. I had been feeling so justified in my judgment, and I knew that I was reaching for something that was not mine, that was my daughter's life, not my life. That's what we call an insight in insight meditation. It was a big aha for me. And ultimately, it really changed the relationship I had with my daughter. From telling her what I thought would be the wise thing to do, to asking her what she thought about what was happening. Sometimes experience can feel really intense. If it's too intense, either physical experience, an uncomfortable feeling or a pleasant feeling, either physical or emotional or mental, look mindfully at feelings and sensations associated with the experience. There's the experience, and then there's what's associated with it. Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? If it's too intense, just move attention to an object that's less intense, like the breath, or a calming image like a cloud, or another image in the mind that becomes a place where when you feel that intensity, that difficulty to look at what is, ah, oh, that cloud. Yes, that cloud. Oh, yes, the words of that song. Whatever it is. When calmness returns, observe again the intensity of that experience. Has it changed? Be dynamic. It's possible to move back and forth from that intense experience into a calm observation of the intensity and back to the experience. So whatever skills we have learned, and yes, they are skills that we learn in dealing with reactions to physical discomforts, can be applied in dealing with defilements like anger, frustration, jealousy, disappointment, rejections, and happiness, pleasure, lust, attachment. If we feel overwhelmed, step away. Stand up or sit down. Go for a walk where you do nothing but walk, not think, just walk. Mindfulness is strong when the defilements are not present. Be aware of that. If you have a moment when, oh, it's gone, be aware of what that feels like. Be aware of a mind that is empty of defilements. Be at ease, at ease. Let go of expectations of results. Let go of pride in accomplishment. Defilements are part of the Dhamma, the Buddha's teachings, and the truth of the way things are. The Buddha did not say we should not think or act or talk. Instead of being driven by defilements of wanting, not wanting, or confusion, we apply wisdom when thinking, talking, and acting. And I quote from the Buddha, "Wisdom inclines toward the good, but is not attached to it. It shies away from what is not good, but has no aversion to it. Wisdom recognizes the difference between skillful and unskillful, and clearly sees the value of skillful and the potential harm of unskillful. See this for yourself.